Righteousness and every other thing shall be added. La da kayani bo shant hayada da kosoraya. I declare your righteousness in me, for I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He la kredi bo shant. I declare your peace, spirit, soul, and body. I declare your peace. In kapraya, speak in His presence. He says, as you've spoken in my ears, so will I do. Speak, hele brother, na ye kasare. Let he can only be your peace. E ma soho taya. He can only be your peace. You're my Prince of Peace. That is who you are to me. You're my Prince of Peace. You've broken down every wall, every wall, every wall. Come crumbling down in your presence, 'cause you're my Prince of Peace. And there is joy in the Holy Ghost. Ah, kaya bata, kaya bata. There is joy in the Holy Ghost. Hey, I can do all things to Christ who strengthens me, and the joy of the Lord is my strength. I take strength and joy. Hey, for in your presence is fullness of joy. And on your right hand I place just forevermore. Ka kaya kata ene bene kaya la na na ye to ba kaya le kreye de kebo shaya. Anything outside of it is not allowed. En ano ne na ya na kaya da ba le kere bene de de de. And your presence is fullness of joy. I drink of joy. I drink of a river of joy. I'm filled to the overflowing. I plunged into the river of joy. There's peace in this place. You're the Prince of Peace. You're the King of joy. You're my song of joy. Respond in tongues. Remember, speaking to yourselves on psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Speak. Sing in the spirit, sing in understanding. Sing. He's a singing God, he's a dancing God. The Bible says he leaps and dances over us with joy. Secured in Christ Jesus. Na na eka baya na na, we're not afraid.
your breath that is in our lungs. It's your breath that is in our lungs. Hey, you're the air we breathe. You're the air we breathe. Yeah, na. Yeah, na, ya, na, 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 kaya, ba, na, na. Shabri, na, ya, na. Yeah, na, 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 ya, ka, ba, na. Yeah, na, na, ya, ka, na, na. Shabri, na, 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 ya. Libri, ni, kaya, na. Amasu.
Your breath in my lungs, so I pour out my praise, pour out my praise. It's your breath in my lungs, so I pour out my praise to you only. It's your breath in my lungs, so we pour out your praise, pour.
Breath in our lungs, so we pour out, pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath,
it's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out your praise. It's your
sacrifice, lifting up our holy hands. Thank you. It's your breath in our lungs.
It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you.
Thank you that we have your breath. We have your spirit. We have your life in us. Thank you for bringing us here tonight to celebrate your table. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Before you sit down, welcome somebody on your left, your right. Say, welcome to the communion table of the Lord. Welcome. Hallelujah. Praise God. Please sit down. There's one thing I like about us here. You know, sometimes some things you don't like, but I love the way we see communion here. I love the way we welcome communion. We take it very serious, and it's really commendable. May the Lord give us more blessings from there in Jesus' name. Let's go to chapter 1, 1 Corinthians. We want to spend some time about communion service tonight. We want to eat the bread, drink the cup. But we like to just read. Let me, because so many things going on in your heart at the same time. In my village, they do festival for gods, goddesses, and they will, I send people going to spirit in my village. My mother was telling me that she knew the spirit in Cairns because she grew up in a kind of, they call it one name like that, she told me. The spirits in the locality. Something a tinga or something. So they will participate in the festival and they will give them something to eat and then they take it and they start, you know. Look at this in the Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 before 11. Verse 14. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. Chapter 10, verse 14. Thank you. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. Maybe help us with the kids. I think they have class for the children there. Please help us take the child there so that it won't make a lot of noise. You can take the kids. They have classes for them. They can come for communion later. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. Next verse. I speak as to wise men. Judge for yourself what I say. Let's keep reading. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Now, he's telling us to flee from idolatry, and he's trying to convince us that there's a cup and there's a bread. Just like before all these sacrifices and altars and festivals, they cook their meal. They eat sacrifices offered to gods. So Paul was now comparing that what they do at idolatry, we do something like that too. There is a blessing cup. Let's keep reading. For we, though many, are one bread and one body, for we all partake of that one bread. Next verse. Observe Israel after the flesh. Please take note. Are not those who eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? So the altars belong to God, but they also eat the sacrifices. So they partake in whatever God is, or they take part. Next verse. What am I saying then? That an idol is anything, or what is offered to idols is anything? Please, whoever has their child, for the sake of the group in the house, don't let your life disturb the rest of the people. Thank you. Just not for my sake, but for the sake. You are breaking their attention. Please take care of your kid. It's not decent to keep on saying that again and again. Let's have some decency in the house. What am I saying then? That an idol is anything, or what is offered to idol is anything. You go to that place, you take their corn, you take their meat. It's meat, of course. But look at next verse. Rather, that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to who? To demons and not to God. So, Obatala is a demon. Sango is a demon. That thing around the Jai corner is a demon. There's a demonic spirit behind it. It's just more than the thing they carry on their head. When they give you some soap to wash with, or some things to do something to put or to tie around yourself, it's just more than something you tie. There are demonic activities involved with them. Take a look. Rather, that the things with the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. Let's read together the last part. And I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. Do you hear that? People can invite demons into their life by participating in some of these sacrifices. And there are those churches that do that. They give you soap to wash with. They give you certain perfume to use. These are demons' dedicated objects. Jesus never gave us that. What did he give us? Look at next verse. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table, the table of demons. So this table we are coming to share today is the table of the Lord. Remember, thou preparest what? Before me, when? Where? In the presence of my enemies. It's not expecting you to cross over from this table and join the enemy. It's expecting you to eat at the table against the enemy. So, our own kind of festival, like Ogun people would do, this is our own kind of festival. Did you get the point? Did you get the point? This is our own, when they get up and carry things on their head, this is our own we do. And we cannot take this and partake in that. So whatever your mom or your dad is trying to convince you to do. My father came to me and told me that he wants to do some sacrifice of his late father that we should contribute money. I know if I give him the money, I'll partake in that demonic activity. My father, his father had died a long time ago, which was sacrificing too. So, you know, in a nice way, I told him, Daddy, you don't have to sacrifice. The last sacrifice has been offered. His name is Jesus. But, thank you. But, he wanted money, so he said, okay, give me money to do Thanksgiving of my father. Hallelujah. We live in a culture where things like this are. So we are, tell ourselves, I'm at this table of the Lord. What will happen there? Let's go to chapter 11, 1 Corinthians. I sense God here tonight. It's kind of scary sometimes, you know. Hallelujah. Praise God. Chapter 11. Let's just read these verses first, from verse 23 to verse 26. And then we look at the context of it. So Paul, we read chapter 10 and chapter 11. He now started talking about that table. You know, the Corinthian people didn't understand the table of the Lord. That's why they went to other tables of demonic things and ate from there. So when they come to the table of the Lord, they don't get it. So Paul began to tell them this. Look at this. For I received from the Lord, which I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, what did he do? He took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Next verse. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in what? In remembrance of me. See, that word, go back, that word remembrance is like this. Everybody, look, can you look up? Can you look up? That word remember is like when you say dismember. You know what word dismember? When you get something dismembered, you separate maybe the head from the body, right? So when we say remembrance, you are putting them together. That's the meaning of that word remembrance. Just more than monotia. Remembrance is bringing to bear that person or whatever it is to lock in with us. Just like body dismember. So the table of the Lord is when we connect ourselves, when we remember, you know, dismember, remember. When we connect ourselves to what he has. Hallelujah. Amen, somebody. He said, as often as you bring this, do it in remembrance of me. Now look at next verse. This is where I'm going. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, what do? See that word? You proclaim. You announce. You see, in my village, when they are going through all that festival, they are not just walking through our streets. They are walking through spiritual atmosphere. The same demons that were around during Elizabeth time is still around in town. Demons don't die. Hello? Demons don't die. People die. So the same demons are still in the air. And these demons will carry things, calabas, and move around. And they cut through the atmosphere. You see, the Bible called the devil as the prince of the power of the air. So they move in the air, proclaiming, and they do all those things and throw this up and make noise. And some of them are almost naked. They wear white. That's why I don't like wearing white sometimes. I'm not against anybody. I'm not going to do anything. But, you know, Babalawo wear white. We wear white. I said nothing's wrong with white, but I just feel funny, you know. You proclaim the Lord's death. You proclaim. You announce. You announce. You announce to the powers in the air that the Lord has died on my behalf. You see, in the village, when they kill that animal, when they offer that sacrifice, when they take it up, they are announcing to the God that we are in union with you. That we want your blessing, we want your power to manifest here. So the priest will lead them and make noise. But thank God, we have something better. Can you clap your hands for Jesus? We have the sacrifice of Jesus who died. Do you know why they kill sacrifice? Because blood must be shed to be able to connect with the spiritual. After Adam's sin, nobody could come again to the spiritual except you come by the way of death. That's why the first thing God did was to slaughter an animal, kill it, and then put the skin upon Adam and his wife. That's why the first thing Abel and Cain did was to offer sacrifice. Because sacrifice will connect you with the spiritual realm. You can't come another way without sacrifice. But we have the ultimate sacrifice. Now, we don't do the sacrifice and kill animal anymore. The lamb has been slaughtered. So we come to the Lord himself gave us this. Now, you know what I'm talking tonight? So, what will be the benefit of this table, proclamation? Look at next verse. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drink this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Just like there's Ogun Festival in my village. And I struggled down there. I'm from the city. I think they're just playing. And I put the corns in my mouth. I'm thinking, oh, I'm playing, but things are going to come upon my life. Now, he said, you cannot just come, see that word unworthy is the word for worthy of value. You cannot come to the table without proper value and not be guilty. So we're going to see what that means in minutes. Because if you don't see this, you will not see the blessing. Now look at next verse. But let a man examine himself. That means get the proper value. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of the cup. Not just as any cup or any bread, but as the cup of the Lord and the bread of the Lord. Look at next verse. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner, what does he do? Let me hear your voice. Eats and drinks what? Judgment to himself, not appreciating the Lord's body, not saying that this thing you are eating, not just bread and drink, but the Lord's body we are remembering. Next verse. Everybody read this verse with me. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. Give us this verse in Amplified Bible. For this reason, that careless and unworthy participation is the reason why many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep in death. This church in Corinth, they were sick bunch, poor bunch, and dying bunch. You see, that means that if you take it worthily, you'll be strong, you'll be healthy, and you will live long. Do you see what I just said? See, if you do it carefully and worthily, what will happen to you is the opposite. Am I right? So we're going to do it with a sense of value, that we value the Lord who went to the cross. So, I want the strength. I want the health. And I want the life. How many of you want that? Can we lift up our hands and say, Father, I come to the table tonight. Not just any table, but your table. I come with due appreciation of what you did on the cross. Thank you that your body was offered. This bread represents your body. And your blood was offered. This cup I'm taking today is the cup of the New Testament in your blood. I appreciate that. Now open your eyes. So we are going to tap into the strength, into the health, and into the life tonight in Jesus' name. That's why we are here. Now, I want to clarify certain things. Please listen. Why are these people messing up like this? Why are they eating this food unworthily? They have some wrong perception in their head. So let's go and read some things. Chapter 11 again. You know, we began from verse 23, if you notice that, if you are with us. But it didn't start from there. It started from verse 20, the story. No, let's make it better from verse 17. That was a build-up of this story. I want you to see. So now, I'm just going to take only one part and run off. Now, in giving these instructions, I do not praise you. Can you look up, everybody? Look at that. Since you come together, not for the better, but what? Every church gathering, every time we meet, Sundays, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Sunday, Saturday, every time we meet, we should get better. But some people come to church and get worse. I've said that for years. They get worse. Like they came to this table. For instance, somebody come to church, leave your house, pay money. You sit down in the house of the Lord, during service preaching, you open your phone and do Facebook. Man, your life is going to turn out worse than if you had stayed at home. If you stay at home and do your Facebook, there'll be no problem. You'll be better. It's just like when you do multiple choice exam. When you see questions you can't answer, leave it alone. If you answer it incorrectly, your mark will be worse off than what you started with. You know how they proved that? When I was in medical school, they said the multiple choice question, they gave it to meat seller and Gary seller in the market. They said it should come to the campus and answer MCQ. That's what we call it. This is how they still call it now. And Mama Lata passed. Meat seller passed. They never been to medical school. They just speak many. So they said, if people just speak like that without penalizing them, they would be dealt with. So then I said, if you get the wrong answer, you're penalized. We never loved it. How many of you love it? You love to just not penalize. You just speak anything. I know you won't confess your sin. Now you are in church. So you can come together for the better or for the worse. Let me warn you. The Lord is here. Certain misbehavior can cost you something 5 years down the line. Sometimes the way you speak to people in church, just talk anyhow, it can fetch you lack of money 2026. You know what you said? See, don't treat particularly those younger ones. Be very careful with them. Jesus said, if you make any of this one offend, they better put stone on your head and sink you in the ocean. But if you don't do that, you just walk in, you just do anything you like, talk to anybody anyhow. That's why I respect you. You know why I don't misbehave in this house? The Lord knows you are his own. I can't just do anything with you. I can just push you around. It'll come later for me. Do you know what? Listen, I'm going to help you today. Not getting worse in church. The sons of Eli will come to church, do anything they like, push people around, you know, sleep with the women in the church. Just do anything they like. God said, none of you will lift up to 50. None of you will lift up to 50. If you get to old age, you die violently. Huh? You're a leader. You can't just talk to those who are under you. They are not under you. They are under the Lord. You cannot talk to... That's why I don't punish people in church. I don't punish people in church. I don't punish them. The Lord punish them, not me. I won't punish you. I won't start a setup. I don't do that. Because they are not my own. And I was just made a leader. And it's not because I'm better than them. So be careful. Be very careful. You have no authority over anybody. The Lord does. Including myself. I don't just talk to anybody in church, do anything with anybody, because they are God's children. But me no more. And let me tell you, people will misbehave in church. Tell your neighbor, people will misbehave in church. I tell them, including myself, people will misbehave in church. Because when we gather like this, the great house, many, many vessels of your light. But for the worse. What's wrong with this church? Look at next verse. So, first of all, when you come together as a church, I heard that there are divisions among you. And in part, I believe it. See, when you come to church, don't come and divide us. We are basically Christians. Not, don't do that in church. Of course, somebody is civil servant like you. You shake their hands and thank you. And you won't be doing any kind of remark about those who are doing business. You don't do that. We'll see something quickly now. Why were they messing up about the Lord's Supper? You'll see that in a minute. Next verse. For there must also be factions among you that those who are approved recognize among you. That's when you come to church. Anybody who is into faction should not be approved in your eyes. Are you hearing me? Anybody who is factitious should not be approved. That's how you know those who are approved are not approved. Anybody who is doing barakpo one kind, do something. Outside though, it's allowed. But in church, we must not be doing barakpo against ourselves. Next verse. Therefore, when you come together in one place, you guys, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. They are not eating the Lord's Supper. Why? Look at next verse. This is it. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others. And one is hungry, another one is drunk. You know the meaning of that? These people have this competitive spirit. They have this idea of just grab something for yourself. So when they come, those days they used to have lunch or dinner with the Lord's Supper. So when they come to the house of God, the way they were behaving in their different parties and houses, they do the same thing. You know, today, let me be honest with you, I grew up in a kind of a culture years ago that when we go to party, we don't demand for food. We let others eat. And we go with gifts to give them. And don't say, don't worry about food, because we don't want to make life difficult for them. But now, it's totally reverse. You don't go with any gift at all, and you ask for basma rice, China rice, and Lagos rice. And you eat three courses. I'm still waiting for more. We don't want to deprive anyone. That's why we are brought up. But today, it's different. We must not have this, I want to get my own. If I bring 5 books now, and I say I want to give 5 books here, if you start struggling to get your own quickly, you are still acting like an unbeliever. You will let others have. That's why mothers are one of the best spirits in the world. When you put mothers down with their children, when you say you have some food, mothers will let their children eat. But today, I know mothers that will fight over the food. I know mothers. I'll tell you. See, so you go to children's house, you go to somebody's house, you give their children money. They say, Temenko. Then I will say, if your children, oh, money, yeah. Emiko, puleti wa. No more come away by. It's amazing. I mean, you put everything in my children's hands. I don't mind. It's supposed to be. This is what caused for them problem in communion. They just think to grab their own. There's this thing about grabbing. Next verse. What? Don't you have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you, look up, do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? If you come to church and tell somebody, I have a car, you don't have a car, what's wrong with you? You are committing abomination. If you come to church, somebody wears the same clothes 3 days, three Sundays, say, last Sunday, to talk like that, you are shaming the poor in the church, and God will deal with you, not me. Hear me? You don't shame those who don't have. These pastors who go around talking to people anyhow because they don't give money, their judgment is coming. They are not there. These people are not their own. You may say they may be getting away and buying jets. Only to be jetted out. So don't despise people in church. No matter how small they are. Can I warn you, all of you who are older, don't look down on these younger ones. They be your children's professors in the future. Those of us who are younger over here, don't look at them and say, oldies, are you hearing me? And look, we don't shame. We don't shame people in church. One lady was telling my wife one time, she was in a group in this church, and then the group called her and said, all of us have decent car. What's wrong with your car? Can you imagine that? Sometimes you feel like, go to church with AK-47. Just spray these kind of people like that. Just spray them. You know. Wounding souls, killing people's motivation for God. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me? Tell somebody beside you, whatever you have is for the glory of God. Hallelujah. Tell the person beside you, I will not grade you by what you have or what you don't have. You are a child of God. Ask him, are you a child of God? Orebowarewa, congratulations. Can you clap your hands for Jesus, somebody? You see, the communion table is putting us on the same plane of partakers with Jesus. You know that if I put the dead here and I put the living here, what qualifies this place is the living, not pastor, not accountant, is the living. So please, this is what was destroying them in the communion table. Don't look at people. Can I just give another warning? Don't attack people who don't look like you, who don't talk like you, who don't act like you. Don't do that. Because, are you hearing me? Recently, I saw this young man that his music was fantastic. And his hair, the way their hair look. Huh? I just say, bless the Lord. I will never do my hair like that. If you see me doing my hair like that, it's not on the Amusu. Are you hearing me? Huh? But these boys, they're just cool. You hear me? But I will only judge them whether they are working with God or not. I will not look at that. Pastor, in terms of you, go, wow. Because God looks at all of us as his children. Amen. Amen. So as we come to the communion table, we are all one. Say that with me. We are all one. Differences, but we have one Lord. Is that all right? These are the changes we have to make. Let me go to the next change. Next verse. For I receive from the Lord this table. Lord, how do I deal with this? Verse 31. For if we will judge ourselves, we will not be judged. But can you look up everybody? I want to help you today. How to live better, how to live in health, how to have more money, how to live longer. Not from my own version, but from Jesus' version, from the Bible version. Listen, the first communion, the first Passover, happened in Egypt. Are you listening, everybody? Are you listening, everybody? This communion table, Jesus adapted it from Passover. How many of you remember that? It's the Jewish ceremony called Passover. And that Passover took place for the first time when God's people were in slavery. Are you listening, everybody? Are you listening, everybody? And God told Moses, go tell Pharaoh, let my people go that they may serve me. And Pharaoh began to oppress them more. And God said to Moses, leave him alone. I will make him stubborn. I will show him my different miracles. So God started showing miracles like turning the river Nile to blood, house flies, lice, livestock, hailstones. And God said, I have one more miracle that I will display to set you free that night. So every resistance of Pharaoh against you will stop with that last miracle. Whatever resistance the enemy can bring in, I'm bringing this last one, his hands will be down and he will let you go. And God said, get me a lamb. Slaughter a lamb every house. If you are too small, two houses can take one lamb. Kill it. Put the blood by your doorposts. And then eat the animal by roasting it. And pack your bag. Because that same night, you are leaving. So, when they took that Passover, they proclaimed their slavery, freedom from the slavery, that night. When they partook in this Passover, freedom came to them that night. And tonight, as we partake, we'll experience freedoms more and more in our lives, in every area of our life. But something else happened to them, I want to show you. Psalm 105, verse 36. 105, verse 36. He sent darkness. He also destroyed all the firstborn in their land. That's Egypt, the first of all their strength. Now look at next verse. Everybody read this verse with me. Read, let me hear your voice. He also brought them out with what? Silver and gold. And there was none feeble among his tribes. Now listen, everybody. That night of Passover, God said, I'm going to transfer wealth to you. You have been here for 400 years. You have been suffering. When you come to this table, you eat. I will let you come out with silver and gold. That's some prosperity. And there was none feeble. See, when they ate that Passover, those who were down, those who were sick, those who were not well, when they took that bread and ate that animal that was killed, there was strength in them. Divine strength came upon them. Old people, young people, and they were strong enough to go through for 40 years. And they had enough gold and silver to give to build the temple of God in the wilderness that the church of Moses had to beg them to stop giving. So, great prosperity and great health came when they took the Passover. Are we listening here? That Passover they took that night, God released certain kind of strength into all of them. No wonder Paul said, if you don't eat this bread properly, you will lose the strength, financial strength, you will lose your health, you'll be sick, and you will die prematurely. Let's go back there. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Is it verse 30 now? Let's go back there. Or verse, what? 30. Yeah, that's it. For this reason, many are weak. See that word weak? Financially weak, materially weak. See, many are weak today. Many are sick. And many are, when I saw that word, I said, what? Many, not few. And today, we are going to get strong in Jesus' name. We are going to get healthier in Jesus' name. And we're going to get to live well, live long. Hallelujah. Pastor, what does it take? I want you to know that Jesus died for you. You are going to proclaim the Lord's death over everything in your life tonight. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? See, God told Israel, put the blood by your door. That means proclaim the death of the animal so the destroying angel will know that you're already dead by the death of the animal. And Jesus died for, how many of us over here? Can I see your hands up? If Jesus died for you, Jesus died for you. Now open your mouth and say, Jesus died for me. Say that he died for my sins. He died for my sickness. He died for my insufficiency. He died for my causes. He died for my chaos and confusion. And since he died for all this, I have, instead of sin, righteousness. Instead of sickness, I have healing and health. Instead of insufficiency, I have abundance. Instead of because, I have the blessing. Instead of confusion, I have peace. The peace of the Lord is my portion tonight. As I come to the table, I take hold of the blessing on the table of the Lord. Tonight, I proclaim with my mouth, angels, demons, hear my voice. Jesus died for me. And tell yourself, he has come to give me life and life abundantly. I will get stronger after today. I will get healthier after today. I'll get more life for me and my loved ones. In the name of the Lord Jesus. If you're a single person here, tell yourself, after tonight, I receive strength in my posterity, in my posterity, that my coming marriage, my coming wife, my coming husband, my children, they will receive this blessing of the Lord in the name of Jesus. And if you're already married, say, I welcome every blessing, every righteousness, every health, every healing that Jesus went to the cross for. I take it for my life, for my family, for my spouse, for my children, for the loved ones who stay even in my house. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now let's go to the table and partake. Can I have our leaders? Please come. See, we proclaim. We announce. Somebody said, Pastor, I'm afraid to eat. What are you afraid of? I'm not a child of God. You can become a child of God now if you want to. If you don't want to, then you can step outside. But you can just say, Lord Jesus, I welcome you to my life. I yield my life to you. I want to follow you. I've had all this tonight, and I don't want to miss out on the blessing. Pastor, I'm already born again, but I'm afraid because my life is not in order. Can you just confess and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I need your life to even live well. So the cup will help you, the bread will help you to live better and overcome all those things that you are thinking you are not doing well with God. Our children will also partake, but they're part of our family. In the land of Egypt, God said the families will share it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, I want us to do it well. So when they pass the bread, just hold it. Don't eat it yet. When they pass the cup, just hold it. Don't eat it yet. Until every one of us have gotten. Then I'm going to close with something that is important for all of us to hear. How to get better in your life. Lessons from the communion. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, we bring the bread before you tonight. We come to remember and proclaim our Lord Jesus that his body was broken for us. And we come to eat of this body. We thank you for the cup, the blood that was shed at Calvary, our redemption, our freedom. Just like they were free in Egypt. Tonight, we proclaim our freedom. Like Jesus that day in the synagogue, that woman that was bowed over for infirmity, he said, "Woman, you are free from your infirmity." I declare over men and women tonight, you are free from weakness. You are free from sickness. You are free from aborted life, from struggling life. You are free to enter into abundance. You are free to live a life of righteousness. You are free to live a life of health and abundance in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Let's share the bread and the cup. We come to you now, just pick the bread, hold it until all of us have taken. We'll wait. If you are upstairs, please come down and join us here. Collect it and then hold it. If you want to have anything to do with the Lord, want to speak to Him, you are free while we are still waiting. As you collect your cup, say, "Father, I'm taking this and I'm expecting this to happen." You can use that moment to connect with the Lord on over any issue that you know that He can step in. Lord, this strife in our house that is always happening, fighting. Lord, I come to the table tonight. I want to have an answer. I want your bread, I want your body and your blood to speak better things in my home. Lord, my business is just weak. I want your strength there. Lord, I'm not good at marketing. I'm not good at whatever that's required of me. Lord, I'm struggling as a wife. I need your strength today. My job, I'm not meeting up. I want you to move on my behalf. Lord, my spiritual life is not really that strong. I need your help, dear. My prayer life, I need your help. I want you to come to the Lord. While we are collecting our bread, don't just waste the time looking around. Is there anything in your life that is burdening your life? Is it somebody in your office that's tormenting you, tempting you, persecuting you? Say, "Lord, I just bring this matter to you today at the table. I want you to help me. I need your strength here. I need your strength." Maybe you want to go to school. It's been delayed because of financial or exam issue. Just say, "Lord, I need you to just intervene here. You sacrificed for me indeed, and I just want you to." Maybe God has some things has told you that it's not yet coming to pass. You can say, "Lord, I'm still looking up to you for these things you have spoken. I'm coming to the table tonight with a sense of expectation of your power to move in my life." Maybe you have some project that's been stalled, stagnant. Say, "Lord, I'm here at the table tonight, and I want you to just revitalize this project. I want you to step in." Maybe you lack wisdom to do certain things. Say, "Lord, I'm at the table right now. As we feed on the Christ, we will take the appropriate thing we need, give it to our lives." Have you all gotten, if you have not gotten bread or cup, can you lift up your hands wherever you are? If you have not gotten cup, can I see your hands? If you have not gotten the bread, can I see your hands? Okay, some have not gotten bread over there. Yeah. So all of us have gotten bread and cup. Beautiful. I would like all of us to stand up. Bread in our hand. Leaders, please collect your bread and your cup and join us. The Lord told Moses, Pharaoh is not letting you go, but tonight he will let you go with haste. By the way, you can break bread in your house. You don't have to wait for pastor to tell you this. If you need to have cup, you need to have bread, you want to get some bread, they will tell you how to get it. Wine, they can. Sokami, who does this for us? I think Sokami still does it for us. So if you need to want to buy bread, wine for your house, to break bread in your house, you can do that. Pastor, can I? You can. You're free. It's your master. It's your family or yourself alone. Things are happening you don't like. You know. Sacrifice. Can we take the bread and the cup in our hand? Say this after me. Jesus, you are my Passover lamb. Jesus, you died. Satan, Jesus died for me. You have no business in my life. I proclaim he died for me. You have no right in my life, Satan. Sickness, you have no right in my life. Insufficiency, you have no right in my life. Sin, bad habits, you have no right in my life. Jesus died for me. Jesus died for me. Therefore, I will live by his body and by his blood. You know, when you kill a chicken, you take the body and eat it. Am I right? So if Jesus died, we can feed on him now. Father, we thank you for the bread. We receive this bread. And Jesus, we invoke you. We remember you. We connect you with everything that has to do with our lives. As our sacrifice, we say, wherever the darkness wants to rule in our life and oppress us, we bring the lights in the name of the Lord Jesus. We bring the death of Christ to bear upon all our fears in the name of the Lord Jesus. Let's eat the bread. You know, I saw something that blew my mind about 2 days ago. I was told that your blood, your heart, pumps blood in your body, and every 24 hours, your blood travels 12,000 miles in your body. Check it on Google. Your blood travels 12,000 miles. That's more than US in between. 24 hours in a day. Delivering nourishment to every part of your body. Clearing out whatever is wrong there. Bringing immunity and defense. The blood in your body carries oxygen to every part of your body. Carries food, vitamins, glucose, amino acids, and then clearing everything that is dirty and waste and pushing them to the kidney to void them out. And the holiest of that blood is the blood of Jesus. This blood of Jesus does not just circulate in Jesus' body anymore. It circulates in our own lives because we are the body of Jesus. And this body, see, the blood in a body will bring to each part of the body nourishment. Any part of the body that the blood does not get to, get necrotic and die and cannot stay in that body. It will fall off. That's why your fingernails fall off, because they don't have that thing anymore. They get old and are dropped off. So in the same way, that blood goes through us, and that blood is bringing nourishment to every one of us, no matter how weak or strong we are. That's why don't ever look down on any Christian. Their master is the great one. They may look weak and vulnerable, but they have Baba Nigbejo. Am I right? So tell yourself, I welcome the blood of Jesus. That blood that circulates from the head to every part of the body, bringing nourishment of heaven. Jesus, I welcome every good thing that your blood has to offer to my life. Jesus, I welcome your blood cleaning up my life. Bible says, and this blood cleanses us from every sin. See, I welcome the cleansing of the blood. I welcome the cleansing of the blood. I welcome the cleaning power. My life, physically, psychologically, spiritually, emotionally, in all different parts of my life, I welcome the cleansing blood. I welcome this blood cleansing sicknesses, cleansing diseases, cleansing bad habits, cleansing emotional disorders. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Just before you pray again, open your eyes. There's something in the blood called white blood cells and all other things like that, that have kept the memory of every thing that can attack you. That's why they give you vaccination. When they give you vaccination, they give you a bit of that bacteria that is not so strong, and your immunity, the soldiers in your body, in your blood, will attack that thing, and after dismantling and destroy it, it will keep the memory for next time. That's the reason for vaccination. So that by that, whatever polio that you are giving, and that polio will be registered in your blood immunity, that when polio comes next time, there is enough to fight it. And Jesus, he said, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And he said this, and nothing shall by enemies hurt, harm, or damage you. So there is in the blood of Jesus every immunity against any damage in your life. See, I welcome that protection, that immunity in the blood of Jesus. The blood that protects, that keeps, that separates. So when I see the blood, that angel of death will pass over you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, let's drink it. Can you pass the cup across to the edge? And when you get to the edge, you can put it on the floor. Sit down and give me 5 minutes before we leave here. We're leaving here in the next few minutes. I want to bring something up quickly that is important out of this communion to help you, that anywhere you find yourself, you can live like this. Chapter 11 that we read verse 30. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. But then he started talking about how to handle it. Quickly, be with me. Next verse. It says, for if we will judge ourselves, we will not be judged. You know, we have court of law in Nigeria. We have the judiciary. You know why we do have judiciary? It's because some things we cannot settle by ourselves. That's why judiciary is there. To apportion blame and apportion blessing. Pay that person for what you've done. That's wrong. We will lock you up. Why do they do that? Very simple. If we properly judge our lives, we don't have to go to court. That's why Jesus said, when you have a case against any adversary, settle the case on your way to court, or else you will spend more time. And judges will like you to say, we want to settle out of court. They're happier because they will stop writing all that long night thing they do. And they settled. So God is saying this. I'm a judge too. I'm your king, savior. I'm a lawgiver. I'm also a judge. But I don't have to judge you if you judge yourself. If you call yourself accused and settle, we don't have to call you accused in the court. So the Lord is asking you today, do something. Judge yourself. Don't wait till somebody else will judge you. I mean the Lord. Look at that verse. He says, if we judge ourselves, we'll not be judged. Look at next verse. But when we are judged, not judging ourselves now, we are jesting by the Lord that we may not be condemned with the world. Pastor, what's the meaning of this? Everybody look up here. Jonah. You know Jonah? Jonah is a classic example of this. The Lord told him, go to Nineveh for me. The man got up. He said, yes, sir. He took money and he took valium and headed opposite direction. He entered the boat or the ship, went to the lowest part of it, took valium and slept soundly. Then a storm arose. Let me tell you, this is important. Anytime you see something wrong in your life, before you start praying to God and start binding the devil, check yourself first. Am I? Don't quickly label it spiritual attack. Am I? Sometimes issues in our finances, in our health, if we judge ourselves, let me give an example. You see, I grew up to brush my teeth hard. Just brush. And my teeth were not well until I started learning. When it started breaking, I started saying, Lord, the Lord, you don't brush your teeth well. You see, if I walk off this place and I'm not mindful of this, I fall off, bam. But even that fall, God will see that it doesn't affect you too much if you judge yourself. So when Jonah started sleeping and storm started coming, it was bad storm. And the more they pray, the worse it gets. So these people had some sense. They said, let's gather together. Where is this thing coming from? And they were checking themselves. And they didn't find Jonah. So they went to say, he's sleeping, oh. Well, follow up, like, wake up. Call upon your God. The man laughed. He started been judging himself quickly. They said, why is this? He said, make I tell you, I'm running away from God. Everybody got scared. Listen, how am I going? Oh, they said, we will let you escape. So they start struggling to help him out. See, when you are doing something financially wrong, the Lord is judging you. No matter how others give to you, it won't be enough. You can call upon your uncle and he can be giving you millions. Millions, yeah? I'm at the debt money. Why? Because it just won't work. Why? You know why God's doing that? Because you are not like the world. That's why he's doing that to you. When I was growing up, we were eating at the table and I want to misbehave. My daddy will say, because you are Muslim, I won't let you misbehave. We are standing over there. Can you say now? Because I'm bearing a name that's different. And you are bearing the name of Christ. And you are in the family of God. So even when God is doing that to you, You are really blessed. Can you clap your hands for Jesus? You know why our country is like this today? You know why our country is like this today? It's because we don't judge ourselves. For instance, I was coming from my house. There's one road where all of us come out. And somebody parked right there. Huh? Park right there. And go and buy things. You know why I did that? He's not judging. He said, I want to. Papa, I want to buy him. No, it's me alone. And when you do that, and somebody say, have you ever been there before? If you have a car over here, the Okada will do something wrong. And you say, why now? And the person on the Okada and the Okada driver will do like this to you. Anybody want to marry? Is that normal? You don't know normal. But we can do that with Nigeria. We can do that with God. In my younger days, people I struggle with them. Now I don't struggle anymore. I say, Lord, you know how to handle them. Sometimes it can involve getting weaker. You start getting weaker. Sometimes it can involve sickness. And sometimes, I've seen it even happen last year, it can involve death. Pastor, why death? You see, to Christians, death means you go to be with Christ. But sometimes death is to spare you a lot of trouble. I'll give you an example. When you are playing football and the coach is watching you and you are scoring against yourself two or three times, what should the coach do? Why Joko? So all this threat, you will not make heaven. You will make heaven early. Because he come and sit down. Let them play the football. Don't worry. In the early church, they don't threaten you with, you'll not make heaven. They tell you, you're going to make heaven early. Yeah. We're going to go early. Or we put you in jail. Like they will do the wire. They put you in jail or put you something. So, let's start judging ourselves. Are you hearing me? You know, I'm much more settled now. I'm much more peaceful now. I'm much more prosperous. I'm much more healthier. You know why? Not because I do something strange, sneaking, because I am becoming to judge myself. Timbati nawoju. Oh, nawoju. Stop that, too. Huh? I can tell you things that in my life that I had to. And for instance, in our home, I started judging myself that usually I'm the cause of the trouble more than anybody else. Because in my binuju, my heart doesn't have anger. I may have it poku, come down, step to down, press down, run over. Are you hearing me? So I started saying that I need to be judging myself. And we have more peace in our house now. Maybe so. You know, now, I'm becoming dendere. Can you imagine? Mati sorrow, mati fa, mati bele. But I'm judging myself. Because the more I judge myself, the better I get. I don't have to go to the court of heaven. All right? Are you blessed today? Are you blessed today? Get up on your feet. Let's go home. Pastor, you didn't finish the story. Oh. So if I judge me, what will happen to me next? This is it. The moment they told Jonah, Jonah, what should we do? Jonah said, throw me into the hands of God. He said, throw me into the river, into the sea. They said, He said, throw me. I know God is there. He will catch me. Can you clap your hands for Jesus, somebody? No matter how anything you do wrong, when you say, God, I'm in your hand, He will take you and care for you. The hand that wants to beat you will pamper you and take you up. Just do that. Praise the Lord, somebody. Tell somebody beside you, I'm not perfect. You are not perfect. But we have a God who is perfecting us in mercy in Jesus' name. Let's share the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The love of God. Look at that person next to you, right in the face. I say, surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life, and you'll dwell in the house of the Lord forevermore. Amen. Thank you for coming for service. Thank you for coming for communion. God bless you really good. Have a wonderful night. Sunday, 7 o'clock. There's no prayer chain tomorrow. All right. Thank you.